As a reminder, again, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, but teaching what is good, so that they may encourage, I'm trying to say this right, encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God may not be dishonored. So that is our
good job.
Our mandate. And we want to be thoroughly equipped for that. And many of us have been Christians for many years, and we should be progressing along. The women's ministry leadership has encouraged us to take a little different format from what we've been doing for our lessons, mm-hmm. and to have each of us participate and teach each other. So up till now, we've been like newborn babies. We've longed for the milk of the word, but now we're growing. And the milk feeds the babies, right? Mm-hmm. But as the babies grow, they need more nourishment, more sustenance, more solid food. So we want to have that continued growth and having solid food. And so Hebrews 5:12-14 tells us, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So we want to be more mature. We want to practice. And that's kind of what we're going to be doing in our altered format just a little bit. So we want to challenge ourselves. We want to be teachers. In fact, one of you has told me that her husband thought that she should be a teacher by now because she has gone to so many Bible studies. Okay? Maybe not a teacher in the way that Linda or Jill or Bev have been doing, but in our relationships with other women, we are and can be teachers of the word and teach and encourage the young women, as in Titus, teaching what is good, so that we can encourage the young women to love their husbands, their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So, because we want to be challenged and because the women's ministry leadership wants us to grow as women in this area, we don't want to be number one, disobedient children, and number two, lagging behind in our growth. So they want us to have some experience in leading and how to deal with situations that may come up in our conversations. It's going to be a stretch for us to be doing some leadership, but we're among friends, we're sisters in the Lord, and we want to see each other grow, and we want to see the Lord work in our lives. And because of that mandate that we have in Titus 2, we have that responsibility. So we're going to be feasting on the solid word of Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And with the Lord's help, and with our sisters' encouragement, we're going to be practicing with each other how to have women, how we can have better conversations with the young women we're going to be encountering, and those women with whom we already encounter. So we'll be as iron sharpening iron. The verse is, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Proverbs 27:17. And then Sue, you mentioned also 2 Peter 1:3, "Seeing that his divine power has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." So We really have no excuse. We have all of the resources at hand. So each of us will be teaching and leading a segment of our lesson using the weekly questions that we gave out, those doctrine, character, ministry questions. We will have an opportunity for you to speak in front of this group of your friends.
Hello.
And today, we're going to have two sisters start us out, Sue and Myrna. We're learning as we go, so there may be some changes or questions. The format can be a little fluid. We're learning as we go, so we need to consider 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. And we are called for this, and those whom he called, he equipped. So Hebrews 13:21, he will equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And Hebrews 13:6-8, we can say, can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that will give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this will be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And verse 19-21. I urge you all the more to do this, that you may be restored to, that I may be restored to you sooner. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. So this week, we are going to start out with Sue and question one, and then Myrna will follow with question two, and then together we'll do question three and four. Bev and I will do a little role play, hopefully. And just a spoiler alert, we haven't practiced this either, so.
What I want to say is that what I have prepared for today will reflect on question two. So I won't be directing question two, but what I have planned, it will, you know, it will kind of go along with question two.
Okay. And then we can discuss, Bev and I, maybe some opportunities that you will have to serve, opportunities that we see in the church where you can serve.
In case you can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Were we doing? Were you going through the chapter at all? The questions before
the
we
end.
Get to the.
At
oh,
the
you're
going
to do that. At the
yeah.
End. Okay.
Unless you want to bring it up in your section.
Yeah, you're the teacher.
Well, that's the thing. I wasn't sure of the format. You had said lead on question one. And
right.
I'm assuming that means input from the group as well.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Oh yes.
Pretend we're all your younger. Two ladies.
I have a question before we start.
Yes.
Does anybody else question what a men planning is?
Menu.
We know you're reading, so that's good.
Yeah.
I had that started.
Oh, I'm going to circle. I'm going to plan that.
Yeah. That was me.
Well, that's like, no, that's
What is it in today's day and age? They talk about mansplaining. Man, she's ahead of her time.
That's the first thing that crossed my mind. Where is this? Wait a minute. We're talking about a sweet chin.
Didn't we dinner?
What's that?
Didn't we dinner?
Not at all. I wasn't even starting. All right. So in this chapter, it's talking about examples of discipling younger women. And I'm covering the area of doctrine. And one of the things that struck me was, do I really know what doctrine means? So I went, unfortunately, I didn't go first to the word. I went to definition. My sister provided a resource, and it's a free app, and it's Noah Webster's Dictionary, old style. It is an app, and it's free.
So it's not woke.
It's exactly. It's not Merriam-Webster, and it's not, yeah. It's Noah Webster, and it has the classical, truthful definitions of terms. So according to that dictionary, doctrine, in general, is whatever is taught. Digging further, it's principle or position, whatever is laid down as true by an instructor or master, and it's learning and knowledge. Instruction and confirmation, then he goes, because he's a biblical guy, instruction and confirmation in the truths of the gospel. And in Matthew, it says, quoting Isaiah, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. And unfortunately today, there are a lot of so-called preachers, even in evangelical churches, that are teaching doctrine that is not biblical doctrine, that is not the gospel. And fortunately for us, we have God's word, we know where to go, we know where truth is. Today, truth is malleable, it's changing all the time. Definitions, as we just mentioned, they change the definition in the dictionary, they add, they remove, and I'm just so thankful, I have to say for myself, we have the truth. We know where to go, and it's true truth, although I hate to use that term because there's really only one truth. It's not what's true for you, is, you know. So in this chapter, if you are not, the author goes into her experience that most Christian women have sound doctrinal beliefs, but I think one of the first things we need to do if we're discipling younger women is to know that they have sound doctrine, that it's biblical doctrine. And one of the best things we can do, and I learned this from our classes, both the ones we have in the evening, the ones we've already had in spiritual mothering, always direct back to the Bible. Always. It's not my opinion. It's not, oh, you should do this, or in my experience. It's, let's go back to what God says. And then we know that we're on a firm foundation. So I didn't have much more than that other than my answer to what doctrinal principle did I learn or put into practice this week. The Titus 2 scriptural, it's a command to disciple. It's not an option. So if I'm going to do that, if I'm going to disciple, then I better have my doctrine down. So did other people have, other women, not people, sorry, women, we are women, have anything they want to share as far as what doctrinal principles they might have taken from this chapter 3 on discipling? Anybody?
Galatians 6:2, carry another's burdens. And Matthew 22:39, love my neighbor. And 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality. And Hebrews 3:13, encourage others. Because with thinking about my barber situation, I need to do all those. And we just applied this week to be, have background checks, my husband and I, so that we are allowed to take care of the son occasionally or have him with visitation with his mom. So neither one of the parents right now can have unsupervised visits. So.
That's a big commitment.
And a big step forward, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what?
So she's coming at 1 o'clock to check out our house. Uh-huh. I said to my husband, "You better clean your office."
So in those verses, like, what anything particular stand out to you?
Not really, just that I need to do all those things, you know, and be intentional about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so it's not just knowledge of the doctrine, it's applying.
Right.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything that they want to share? Come on, Peggy, you're looking at me like...
The thing is that if... one of those things, if you're going to be praying for something, be ready to have that prayer answered.
Good point.
And I have been praying for the longest time, you know, that God would just make me grow. Because I was reading, like, who knows where, I read so many things or heard so many things, is that it's not good enough for us to be doing a lot of reading and listening to good preachers and whatever. We kind of like to nest there, mm-hmm. you know? And so I realized that I was nesting there. And I go, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. And I'm underlining or I'm making comments, which is fine. But I realized that I need to step it up, Myrna. Mm-hmm. You know, step it up. Mm-hmm. And I've been praying for such a long time and everything like that. And, you know, and I feel that this is the answer prayer. It is... You know, I've gone to Bible studies and everything like that, but it's now that it's like, okay, you got to step out of your comfort zone. Let's start learning about, you know, the gospel, Lord. Let's start learning how to present it. Let's start learning how to minister to these younger women. Let's start learning doctrine, you know, and let's start learning how to move forward in that. So, yes, so we need to know our doctrine and we need to know where to find it, and we have so many godly women here who already have kind of stepped it up already, you know what I'm saying? And we have great pastors, and so we need to really, and that's what I'm looking forward to in this study.
Yeah. Well, that's one other thing about resources. We were talking in our women's study last night, we criticize the disciples. We were like, they were so clueless. Like, Jesus is teaching them all these things, and they're so clueless. Well, think about everything we have. Like, I just talked about this app, that app. I'm sitting here with my iPad. How much resources do we have? We have, like, no excuse. And the other thing is, check your resources, because if you're hesitant about the source, it's always good you can go to one of the pastors or elders and double check. You know, hey, is this a good book for me to use? Is this a good reference for me to use? Also, last night we went into inductive Bible study. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to what Myrna was just saying. So you're digging into the text. You're getting into the doctrine. You're observing. You're interpreting. But you're also applying. And that's the thing. We can have a foundation in doctrine. They used to tease me at work. They were like, you're a research girl. You'll dig into anything if you have a question. And I do the same with my reading. Okay, I'm researching and I'm getting all this information. Application? You know, is that happening? Is that part happening? Or am I just, is it just head knowledge? And we want to take it further. We want feet. Mm-hmm. So that's, but again, you have to have the foundation. Mm-hmm. You have to crawl before you can walk, so to speak. You have to have milk before you can have meat.
Yeah.
So doctrine is very critical. Yeah.
Yeah. Another application for this knowing the doctrine is I have a lot of people in my life from former churches, and sometimes I have said, like, are they saved? Are they even saved?
Yeah.
But then I think about where I came out of this, and so I need to know the doctrine and be able to present it to them, because seriously, I don't know some of if they are or not, but they might just be where I was, where they just are off on the doctrine, you know, and it is hard, so I just pray for that they would be open to it, and then I would have opportunities to present it in a way that's not, you know, whacking them over the head, you know, but that, because my first response really is, and I thought, well, they could have looked, you know, you guys could look at me and say that when I first got here, Marcia, she was saved, we don't know where she's coming from, but it's just... It's that's why the doctrine is so important.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And discernment is a process.
And the whole the doctrines of man. You know, I mean, the gospel's the gospel, and God is the one who saves and opens eyes and gives new hearts. And if that's happened, they just need to be brought along
right
in the truth.
Yeah, but to your point, too, we don't know where they are in their walk. They might be saved. They might be
right
back here, and they don't have discernment.
And still, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Right.
So it can't be my opinion. It can't be.
Right.
It's got to just be the scripture when the Lord provides that opening.
Well, that's, I have a friend, a former, co-worker. She's still working there. We were talking yesterday. She's big on The Chosen. She's watching that series like crazy. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I just read an article where they said, it really goes against God's commandments.
Yes.
But
yes,
she's, quote unquote, a good Christian. She goes to my old church up there. She's getting good, sound doctrine. And I can remember, though, when I was back there, I read The Shack. I read Jesus Calling, these books that were just, you know, I was a baby Christian. I didn't have the discernment. I was in a church where the pastor was divorced 3 times, you know. So, but I didn't know, hey, go to the Bible and say, wait a minute, he's not qualified. Yeah. But then also giving the truth in love, not, like you said, not hitting him over the head with it. How to approach that and say, hey, maybe you want to look at this, you know. So, but if we don't have ours down first.
Right, and I think it's not just reading. I mean, we all have been encouraged to read the scriptures, and we all do. But you have to study. Study to show yourself approved and work on it. It doesn't need to be
right.
Shamed.
And rightly handling the word of God.
Right. Yeah. So we have to study. We have to. I was convicted last night about that, you know, digging deeper and doing more study.
Yeah, how many, like I said, how tools do we have, all the tools in the world?
Right. And I just want to bring to your attention that Addendum A with all the doctrines and the definitions in there. Yes. And, you know, look up all the scriptures and get to know them so that you could say, okay, what is the doctrine of redemption?
Know our doctrine of the church. You know, we really need to.
I think it's also very good to look at the doctrinal statement of this church. Because we
that's
need
what
to be
Kathy said.
We need to be consistent with what
it's
taught
here.
It's
probably
out
there.
It's really
I don't have one of the shirts on today. It's on the back of every t-shirt, too.
Can I tell you a little, it's almost a little funny story, but one of these girls that I'm talking with, this is all in the text, by the way, but I just sent her a little scripture here and there, and it says, my twin is so tiny here, I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. She writes back, actually, it's funny you should say that, because I'm going to the doctor's because he's checking me to see if I have an enlarged heart.
Oh, my goodness.
So I said, you know what, I'm sure, you know. So I went to the concordance and the volume and all that, and I got what enlarged, you know, I couldn't figure out how, and that's what I told her. You know, I was like,
that's funny.
I
thought you were
going to say.
I thought you were going to say she was going out to run, exercise, so that her heart would. See what terms I'm thinking?
That's when you're not thinking spiritually. You're thinking about what you're going through.
Way too literal.
Way too literal.
Does anybody else?
God does it. Mm-hmm. You know, God does the enlarging for this sort of thing. So,
I was just going to say that it's particularly important to have good doctrine when you have to speak the truth in love, and we know what that means, right?
Yep.
And we know that if I have any concerns about whether I'm doing that in love or not, if I'm using the word of God, which is love pure, I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry. You just read it out of there and say, this is applicable to this section today or this conversation today, and I just let the word of God speak. I will know if there's going to be any reception and application, because usually it's followed by an email or a text that says, I was just thinking about what you quoted, or I was thinking, and I've had a chance to read it. And then, you know, you say, thank you, Lord, you work through your word. You know,
God's word will not return void.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes it requires more time.
Oh,
you know, for them to ponder and think about the words. And, you know, we don't determine the time, but I find that that is absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm. It has two responses. Mm-hmm. One, you either smell like death, mm-hmm. or you smell like life.
Right, right.
And so you're not going to get, you're going to get one or the other mm-hmm. at different times, I suppose, but not, and all who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution.
Right, right.
So yeah. The most we have happen usually is our feelings get hurt.
And you're so right about that. Many times before I quote a passage, I will say exactly what you just said. Let me speak some words of life to you. and then I said, these are words of life, because everything that comes out of there is life. So I said, let me just speak some words of life to you, and then I'll go to a passage. And, you know, so you're absolutely right about that.
I like that. I like that you shared that.
Yeah.
And it goes to what Diane was saying, too. It's God's word that's going to do the work. And the way principles and doctrine get repeated for us throughout Old Testament, New Testament, I mean, the Lord kept saying to the Israelites, you know, remember, remember, remember I did this for you, remember. And they would assume the next day forget. What, can't we go back to Egypt? You know, it's like, and but like Diane said, you're continually giving truth. It might be repetitious, but it might be that particular time when God chooses to open their heart. So we just have to be faithful. It's God's word and God that does the work.
I found that early church history has been very helpful in recognizing heresies that were declared as heresies in the past, but have resurfaced and been repackaged for the modern age, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like unhitching the Old Testament, you see that heresy in Andy Stanley. You see Arminianism, in other words, a works salvation, mm-hmm. repackaged in someone like Leighton Flowers. You see all these discoveries.
New?
Yeah, yeah. And so if it's new, that's usually a red flag.
Yeah.
But if obviously the Word of God corroborates that many of these really were early heresies. And so, like you guys say, obviously we need to verify like a good Berean mm-hmm. from the Word of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's amazing the subtleness of some of the new heresies that have been repackaged for today.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I wouldn't even say trust and verify, because we don't want to trust it first. We want to verify it first,
exactly.
Like you were saying.
Exactly.
I love the Bereans, because I'm like, yeah, I love to dig in. I'm like them. Let's go back and see if this is true.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point, because. What is it in Ecclesiastes? Nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. They're just resurfacing these old things that were already disproven, so to speak, or declared to be heresy. They keep coming back up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of this. Speak it into existence.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they'll have verses and they'll have a lot of.
Oh, do you know where that comes from? I've tracked it down.
Speak me thin.
It comes from it's a short little man that is certainly the guru to Oprah Winfrey.
Deepak.
No, this one is European.
I thought you were talking about Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man.
Shall we see?
He writes
all these
books,
syndrome?
And he is into, I've heard him explain it. It's just amazing. It's just like, oh my goodness.
It's like bad stuff happens at your knees because we're.
Yeah.
And then speak
to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Like, what is that?
But it's been recycled because that comes from somewhat of a secular perspective.
Yeah.
It's been recycled in the church.
Mm-hmm. It's making
yeah.
God in
yes.
your image.
Yes.
Yeah.
They've got an idea of how God is. And
so it's very interesting. But,
yeah. And a lot of that like Alice Bailey, yes, for example. I think she was one of these gals that was a Sunday school teacher for
what?
This church. Mm-hmm. Alice Bailey.
A son, what? Oh, that's good.
Alice Bailey, yeah.
Is a
and
what
so
teacher?
She
used to be a Sunday school teacher.
Am I not speaking well?
I don't know.
Okay, sorry.
I'm going to volume a little bit. That would be helpful.
And then she started, she didn't know it at the time, but practicing New Age practices.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, she encountered her enlightened master that gave her all this wisdom, and as a result, she started teaching others about New Age practices, kind of like, you know, the secret from...
Well, let's get focused on...
I know, I'm thinking it too. I'm like, we're not getting off on that. Yeah. I'd rather us focus on the Word of God.
Stay the real thing.
There's stuff out there all over the place.
Yeah, well, that was fine. The point I was going to bring up, if we can know all these false ones in that much depth, do we know God's word in that much depth?
But so, what I wanted to say is that these practices are forbidden in the book of Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. And so if we do know the word of God well, we can discern these practices.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, that's
anyway,
it. You don't even have to know your enemy. You just have to know.
Right.
You'll know that it's false when you hear it, because
exactly.
It's not in line with... Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's just getting to know the word a lot.
Right.
And I like what
right.
you said, Edie, the whole issue of study, where you take a chunk and you just eat it up. You take weeks on it.
Yeah.
But John MacArthur has said, you know, even if you read, like, 1 John every day for 30 days, you'll
mm-hmm.
know it.
Mm-hmm.
But then take it apart. What does that mean? And asking mm-hmm. questions, like we talked about last night.
Yeah, the inductive Bible study.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Shall we move on?
Next.
I was given this section on discipling, not discipline, discipling a younger woman and her character, and this section here deals with sin. And sin describes our character. Let's listen to what sin is. Who hath thy given Galatians 5?
I have it.
Can you please read it to them?
You know what, I have to go back because I went on Hebrews 13, so just a second. Starting at verse 19.
19 and 20 to 21.
Right.
We're talking about sin, describing sin.
Yeah.
Sin is.
Yeah. Okay, starting at verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
That's really strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially that last part there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can see ourselves in many of, in some of those, let's say some,
mm-hmm.
in some of those sins there. I like how she asked a young woman, what sin or what character weaknesses do you think God wants you to work on? And she said, and if she would not think of any, she would ask her, who? Her husband. If I can ask her husband,
yeah.
what would he would like for you to change? And what would he say? And if you remember last week, I said to you that I did the same thing with Peter. And of course, you know, I was hoping that he didn't go any further. But it was interesting, you know, to see what, you know, what he thought that I should be, you know, changing. And for those who don't have husbands, because we're going to be coming across, you know, younger women who are not married, then, you know, what would their mother say? Wouldn't that be interesting? Well, what would your sister say? You know, so if you know a little bit about who they are in relationship with, then you can refer, you know, to someone like that, you know. And I should ask my mother. I should. When I go to Orlando, I think I'm going to go and ask my mom.
Maybe a different answer than you do.
I know. another way that we can disciple her, not discipline her, disciple her to observe is to observe an area where she needs to work on. And we should, I like this part here, we should lovingly but in a straightforward manner tell her of our observations. I like for us to kind of talk a little bit here as to how can we approach her in a non-accusative manner. If anybody here have any thoughts, because I don't know, when I read that, I went, how would I really approach someone in a loving way? And because we become, what's the first thing? If somebody said something to us, we become what?
Defensive.
Yeah. And if it hurts. And before we discuss what you think we should, how we should approach her, I just want to give you a small example, which is going to be part of my testimony. My daughter and her husband, there was a little thing, misunderstanding, whatever. Well, it's not really misunderstanding. Where they were kind of like bringing things out in the light, and I became very defensive. I go, oh, how could they say that? We're supportive of them. We'll help them with this. We'll help them with money. We'll help them with that. You know, yada, 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 yada. And so I became very, you know, defensive and everything like that, and I kept going back and forth. And let me tell you, my son-in-law, when he wants to say something, he'll tell you, boom, 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 doesn't matter how you feel. So I was really deeply hurt. For the longest time, I was deeply, deeply hurt. And then finally I said, okay, Lord, wait, wait, Myrna. What is it that you're trying to teach me here? Mm-hmm. I had to turn it around. I had to really stop, and I had to really listen. And I said to myself, there has got to be some truth, many truth, in what they were saying. And so I started to really work on those words, all the things that they were saying about me, put aside my hurt feelings, and said, okay, Lord, speak to me. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we would have a better relationship now, because I really did change quite a bit. One of the things was that when I went to my daughter, well, her way of living is a little bit different in her home, inside her home, different than mine. So I would go in there, and I would actually go and see her plants that are dusty like this way. And I would be cleaning, when she's not looking, you know, I would be cleaning them, or I would be doing things like this. And I said to myself, why am I doing that? Why is it that I'm really, you know, God had to speak to my heart. And who knows how many times she feels like I was doing that, even though she didn't see it. But she knows her mom, and she knows where her mom's heart is. And so, anyway, so that...
Come dust mine.
I would be happier.
So that was in a straightforward manner. It was hard for me, but they live in Connecticut, I live here. If we're going to be discipling a young woman here, it's a close proximity. You're going to be seeing her probably in church all the time or in your community or something. So, you know, how would we approach a younger woman in a straightforward manner, but not being non-accusatory? So they don't feel that. They're going to feel defensive anyway. They're going to have that attitude no matter what.
Yeah.
So how do you think?
It's extremely difficult, this issue here. Especially if you don't.
I'm like one of those horses doing this, ready to go.
But go ahead. Yeah, I find that the only way I've found that sometimes helps is if you talk about a problem that maybe you think the person has, and you refer to yourself. Like, so for example, if you think the person gets easily angered, then you discuss in your life, you know what, you just talk about, oh wow, I had this problem recently that I got really upset with my son about something, and you relate how you dealt with it, and you know that person struggles with it too, that you can share something you've learned from that.
From the Word of God. That's the key. Like you were talking, be careful when you share your experiences, yeah. because what happens is the gal may, oh, I'm feeling like Lucy. Okay. What did you do? Well, I, you know, went to the ocean and I prayed. And that's fine. But it's like, okay, the Bible talks about anger. So how did you deal? Because it's okay to share experience if you bring out the Word. Mm-hmm. This is how God taught me.
Yeah. Like one of them lately is that when there's a multitude of words, there's sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Well, and it's always speak the truth in love. But the in love part is the part that sometimes people forget. It's like Bobby, like you were saying, we have it, and it's almost like we want to clobber people with it. No, your doctrine's wrong. Let me show you. No, speak the truth in love. But if you can lovingly take them back to Scripture, that's God's truth. That's not me telling you how to live your life. That's me showing you how God wants to direct us to live our lives. So
I think a simple way is, one thing I've learned from the pastors, number one, I've been in different counseling sessions with them, watching them with the gals, mainly gals, and it's like, they sit there so calmly, and I'm like, okay, how's he going to do this one?
Yeah.
They just start asking questions.
Yeah.
But the neat thing about asking questions of them, like she said in the beginning, mm-hmm. is it's the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that's doing the work. It's like you said, we're instruments. We're just tools in that regard. And so what's really cool is you start asking the quell, so what does your husband, well, he says da-da. And then you can take notes. Just say, I'm going to take some notes here. And you start praying like crazy. And then you know the Word of God because you've memorized it or you know where that verse is and say, let's turn to James 1:22 or 1:19.
Yeah, you made a very good point there. About
be quick to hear, mm-hmm. slow to speak, if it's an anger issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, James
the Word of God, be quick to hear. Now, quick to hear is asking questions, really. Mm. You accuse, you know, like the husband, you accuse me of that? Well, how? Give me examples. What have I done? And that way, for that situation, so be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That's James 1. That's all you may be able to share, but it's asking questions, and it's praying for wisdom and then presenting the Word. That's kind of if you see something in another gal's life.
Presenting the Word is the biggest thing right there. You have to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, when I think about my mother, you know, who I love dearly, her is pride. And so I keep pointing things out. And I'm over there saying, it's just void. It's absolutely void what I'm saying to her. Because she doesn't see it. And that's exactly what happened with a lot of us, a lot of women here. They don't see their sin.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you point it out like in a third person or your experience, whatever, they go, oh yeah, but they don't actually see it in themselves. And that's why Scripture, that's where Scripture comes in. That's where Myrna has to go back to Orlando and say, hey, Mom, you know, and point these things out to her. So be in prayer when next time I go to Orlando.
Yeah.
But, you know, we need to be prepared as far as that's concerned. And you're right, experience, yes, you can, you know, kind of put that a little bit in there or whatever, but you need to go straight to the Word. And Elsie, I like the way you said that if you have the Scripture there, you don't have to worry about it. Everything is right there. And many of us, like myself, I'm going, oh my goodness, where do I start? You know, some of you are very good at this, and you know, going straight, whatever. But the fact, yes, the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit. But what you said, Elsa, that if you go with the Bible and you go with Scripture, you are prepared. You know, I spoke to Laura about how to present the gospel in a way for me to remember these verses, you know. That's my thing. How am I going to remember these things? Because I'm not good in memory, you know. I shouldn't be talking negative. That's one thing I'm trying to learn, not to talk negative.
But it's not going
to
be you. That's the point. It's not going to be you.
I know that. But you also need to be prepared.
Just read your Bible and pray.
That's true.
You need to be prepared.
That's what I was going to say.
You can have things written down. There's nothing wrong with that.
And that's what Laura's talking about.
Yeah, because I became a believer through the bridge illustration, which is something the navigators use. That's how I grew my faith through the navigators. You draw it, you write it. Like, there's nothing wrong with tools. There's nothing wrong with using tools.
Or track. I mean,
yeah, tracks.
I think Bobby has a sweet testimony.
Yeah, she came with tracks, yeah.
And there's a couple places in the Bible. Didn't God say, "Don't worry what to say when you get there. I'll give you the words."
Yep.
Yeah. Holy Spirit.
But I mean, you gotta know it.
Yeah.
The word's gotta be in you.
I can think of Moses.
I know. Trust me.
I mean, I have a speech impediment. Send somebody else.
But at the same time, again, we have tools. There's nothing wrong with if you're not confident. Yes. There's a concordance. Okay, let's look up pride. Let's look up all the verses that talk about pride. And I mean, again, if you're not confident, I laughed because, and Bevel, she holds me accountable to memorize scripture, which is good because I always been like, I'm not good at it. I've gotten good now at the scripture, but not necessarily the addresses. And Linda, my sister, said to me one time, she goes, well, when Jesus was quoting the Old Testament, he didn't say, well, it says in Isaiah, blah, blah, blah. He just came out and said the verse.
The addresses aren't inspired.
So, yeah, at least if I've got that much, but I think
she wants to know where it is. You just say,
let me look
in the Bible. Sorry, where in the Bible does it say?
Yeah.
I have done that a lot.
Yeah, sure.
Many times I've done that.
And one other point I wanted to make, too, was on the flip side of that, like you were talking about the receiving side. I think when we start to hear and we get defensive, we start to hear someone talking to us, the walls go up, and then we're not hearing anymore. Mm-hmm. They can keep going on and on, and you're like, no, they're wrong. We have to be graciously receiving those things too, which you said, praise God that he led you to, hey, what is he trying to tell me? What are you, Lord, trying to tell me through this? Because, you know, we know God used a donkey, so he can use anybody.
I think it might have been a Spurgeon quote, but don't worry about what people think of you, you're far worse. They don't really know.
Oh, man, I'm gonna go home and
think about
how far worse you are.
I think before we even talk to a younger woman, whether we've been doing it for weeks with the same person or whatever, you always have to begin it with prayer before you
even get to that. Of course.
Not only to cover you, but to cover them too, and meet with them.
I always begin with prayer. Well, she talked about that once we determine what sin she should turn from, the author suggests that we find or write a Bible lesson, I chuckle on that one, for her to study or books to read that we can discuss one chapter at a time. And of course, we need to be, like Sue said, we need to be very, very careful what books that you are going to be reading together. My go-to are the godly women in this church that has done Bible studies before, and that you know that they're doctrinally sound here. And so you can trust them as far as Christian authors is concerned. Mm-hmm. What I do is that I sometimes ask Jill. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I send her a little text message, you know, do you think this is a good book or whatever? And then if she's not sure, guess who she asks? So if it comes from Mark, you know, I go, yay, you know.
It's got to be right.
Well, you know, like I said, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, The Excellent Wife. I mean, being an excellent wife. Is that how it is? Being an excellent wife? How to be an excellent wife?
The Excellent Wife.
Okay, so I went up to Mark thinking that I was enlightening him. And I said to him, Mark, you know, I says, how are you doing this and that or whatever? I says, no, I've this book about Excellent Wife. I'm talking to him. And I says, you know, didn't you just get a degree or something like this in counseling and all this other stuff? And I go, well, when you counsel somebody who needs something like this, you know, you can refer to the Excellent Wife. So here I am thinking that I am enlightening Mark. He's never read it. So he turns around, he gives me that cute little smile of his, and he goes, do you know that there's a book that also goes along with that for the husband that you can use? And I go, really? And he's like, yes, it's called Exemplary Husband. You go, so it's interesting how he's the one that came back to me. And so, you know, we need to look at our godly women's hair. I want to refer to Mary Phillips. She gave me the new book, the book that some of us are reading, Aging with Grace.
Aging with Grace. Oh, that's a wonderful book.
And she gave me, Aiden, you might have to help me remind you of this. How she gave me that book as a gift, but she also gave me another one, When Words
Matter Most.
When Words Matter Most. And of course, I want you to look at it, and I want her to present it to see maybe that's a good, that's an excellent book, and I thought that would be a good one for studying. And I, when this morning, when I looked at it, I'm going, okay, I know Mary Phillips gave it to me. I'm like, star one. And then I said, I opened the front part, and I said, Martha Peace. I go, okay. Okay, the book is a good one here to go. You know?
Sometimes, though, their doctrines might change, an author's doctrine. Like Linda mentioned a book last night by, was it
Jen Wilkin?
Jen Wilkin.
Jen Wilkin.
Where, really? When she started out, she was pretty sound, so an early book might be okay, but a later, not necessarily so.
Yeah.
And like you, to your point, Myrna, the pastors are always a wonderful resource. I know when we were going up north when my brother-in-law passed away, we were asked, Linda and I, either one of us, to give a talk at his service, and Linda sent an email to Pastor Eric, and he came back with, here's some suggestions, and you know, we were able to put together something that we could say that hopefully presented the gospel, and you know, if people listened and if God opened their hearts, you know, that was that. But it was just great to have that guidance. I mean, obviously we were pulling from the Bible as well, but just to have him be able to point us in the right direction. So, yeah.
I think, too, Bev, you've taken people, women, through partners, which is a study, yes.
Fundamentals of the Faith is another one that's very good and very... Yeah, and I think it's almost as you get to know the gal, which I know our little role plays eventually, you know, kind of the step one in getting to know them, you'll see where they're at. If they're weak in their faith or in Bible doctrine, actually Fundamentals of the Faith is a great one for both of you.
Wait, is it fundamental?
Fundamental. It's very fundamental. Very. Because it talks about salvation. I mean, it goes through all the doctrines, really.
Yeah.
So that one's really good if she's not doctrinally sound. And then if she is, but, you know, maybe I want to get together with you, then Excellent Wife is really a good one. No matter, I mean, you can just, that would be the next one type thing. So we're partners and that type of thing. Yeah.
Well, we've had quite a bit of practice as far as reading a book and discussing the chapter and everything like that. So that should come a little easier for us as we're selecting a book. And it's interesting because Debbie, who comes to our group, she was not here for Excellent Wife, and so I gift her the book for Christmas, and Al,
the Exemplary Husband.
Wonderful.
Along with Peter, the Exemplary Husband. She says, what are you reading, darling? Well, in chapter 7. And I go, oh, okay. And believe it or not, I'm beginning to see changes in Peter, you know, and reading. I should probably read it if I know what's in there.
You got to be careful, too. But you're not doing that.
Yes.
Change 20 years.
It can change.
You know.
Laura, go ahead, say that again.
It can change your expectations.
Yes.
We're supposed to give our expectations to God.
That's a good
for our husband, not put them on him.
Yes.
Amen.
Do not read the book. Thank you, Laura. Yes. I'll try very hard not to read the book. I'll leave it up to her. Yes. Leave it right there.
In God's hands.
But I like what she used as far as the Bible study. So if you can turn to on page 187, that's Addendum D. I don't know if any of you had the opportunity to look at it. And if you did, anyway. The title is so funny with the title. Every time I look at the title, I keep thinking of that movie, you know. And this one, Peter said, well, it's put off and put on, you know. Okay, I'm going to review a little bit here of the Bible study. I'm grateful for this lesson here.
Can someone, is this on page 187? Can someone please read the top part, the paragraph on the top for me?
I can read it for you.
Thank you.
The Bible study is for the purpose of teaching Christians how to deal with their sin in a practical way. Many times, we are aware that changes need to be made in our lives, and we confess the appropriate sins to God. However, we may find ourselves committing those same sins again and again. Habitual sin is especially difficult because we automatically respond wrongly without thinking. Therefore, it is important to learn exactly what God has to teach us through His Word about establishing new habit patterns. Before you begin the study, pray and ask God to show you the truth of His Word.
Mm. If you look again in the middle of the paragraph where it says, however, mm. you see that, however we find? Mm. It's however we find ourselves committing those same sins again and again. And habitual sin is especially difficult because we what? We automatically respond wrongly without thinking. I mean, those words, how many of you have read this, that those words just jumped out at us? Because many times we just want to bite our tongue the minute it comes out of our mouth. And we just, and it's just a habitual sin over and over and over again. But once again, if we have the desire to obey God, and if we know His Word, you know, to be holy, be holy for I am holy, and to obey His Word and everything like that, it becomes a little easier at a time as you work at this sin here. Take a look at number 5 here. And who has Ephesians 4, 22, 24? So we're talking about sin here. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Okay. Ephesians 4, 22-24. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Mm-hmm.
And what else do we read here in Colossians 3, 9, and 10 about put off and put on?
That's me. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator.
I absolutely love that when we read that there. If you go on page, if you look at this, I love how you everything is all laid out for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm over here saying, okay, it's nicely laid out, but how do I do this? So if anyone here who can type this, I've thought about this, maybe there's somebody here who can kind of type it out, leave a little bit of space, and who knows how to draw nice graph here, little squares and whatever. And that'll be kind of cool because this way is something that we can use because we're looking at this now. But how many of us are actually going to be using it? But I think if we have something in our hands that we can present it to our younger women that we're working with, then that's something that we can deal with.
You just want the chart? You could just
photocopy the chart. No, the whole thing. The whole thing.
It's forbidden.
The whole thing.
Charts are good.
Well,
oh, really?
the thing is that you can. You're not selling it. You're not. You know,
just
you're
for just personal use.
Yeah, so working
for charts. Martha Peace.
Pardon me?
She often loves her chart.
There you go. She loves it, we love it too.
If you want the chart, I mean, so I can make copies.
Well, it's not so much the chart, sweetheart, because if you look at everything else, this is what you're going to be giving the person that you're going to be talking to.
So that you can photocopy
exactly,
it and use it anytime.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If you leave some a little bit of space so that they can respond.
If she's provided permission to duplicate these, I mean, I can do it for you. It's not that hard.
Okay, that'll be great. So if you don't mind checking that.
But I mean, it would be like, I would have one sheet with all the directions and then the chart on another page and
You could, because then you can actually, you know, but the questions there are important too. For instance, when you look at page, the last page there are questions there that are kind of cool on page 190.
Yeah.
you know, so.
So you want to leave space after the questions?
Yeah.
FYI?
Yes, we are.
This is also in The Excellent Wife. It was part of our homework.
Yeah, we've done it. So if she went through the trouble of putting it into two books, then I should use it.
It's worth it.
But you weren't putting it, it's worth using it.
You can't reproduce it and hand it out to people.
Unless you have her permission.
Really?
But how about if you're working with it?
Well, I think if you're working,
you could write to her.
Write to
her.
It's your homework.
Or we could just
use the. Find out.
Well, there's probably, I'm sure there's something either on her website or in the book that'll say whether it's copy.
Yeah, it says right in the beginning. No part can be copied.
Oh, it says it?
Unless you're without written consent. So you just need written consent.
Except for brief quotes.
There you go.
Okay.
So you and I will work it out.
Okay.
We're going to get you a chart that's gorgeous.
What I'm talking about, Sweet, is not only the chart. Everything
the
else
thing.
In there is
right. The whole right. little addendum.
The whole little thank you. And you need the whole little addendum. So if you can find
can't
out.
Do that
it's your tarea. It's your homework. There you go. thank you.
Yeah, we'll work it out. Me and you.
Well, you know, one of the things is the best way to use this Bible study so is to what? To use it our... So I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you. You can use it right from here, or if you want to use
it. It says right here at the beginning of the book.
What's
no part of this book may be.
Yeah, we just read that.
We'll get permission.
That's all right.
I'm sure she'll grant us permission.
Yeah.
We'll send her a little heart.
Go look at my excellent
we'll figure it out soon.
Please remember to follow up with the women who we are working with. You can give her something like this. You can give her the book, go over the book, but it means nothing if you do not follow up. And remember also that we need, first of all, to exhibit good character.
We have to be
godly character.
And I think that
thanks, Mer.
Your what's in your heart is going to come out
exactly
in what you say. And so as we're impacted by what we're reading and what we change in our lives to conform ourselves to the image of Christ, that will shine out.
And that's from being in the Word of God.
That is from being in the Word of God.
Because we heard a sweet testimony last night from a gal that after doing this inductive study that we're doing on John 13 and loving, she got, within minutes, God tested her in an opportunity with her son. She first got defensive, but because she had been washed in the Word and just that fresh, she turned it into love. We've got to be in the Word of God ourselves. So that was precious last night.
That is, you know, that is, I turned something that was very defensive, and I did turn it into love.
There you go.
And my daughter and I and my son-in-law, it's a whole lot better. And even she, believe it or not, Bev, even she, because of the way I have changed, she also has changed. So I see that, the way she talks to me and everything.
The Lord uses
yeah.
that.
The Lord uses it. It's just amazing, you know.
It is.
Prayer,
thank
prayer,
God.
Prayer.
Mm-hmm. Should we kind of change focus, Bev, and do our little conversation, and you guys can critique? Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to, can we talk a little bit more about what's in the bookie, too?
Yeah, go ahead.
So you're not going to do any more of those questions on the sheet?
No. Well, I wasn't planning to because I want to use the time.
Because the next one is huge. You know, discipling and ministry is absolutely huge. And again, that means you using your spiritual gifts in any way, shape, or form so that it's observed. An opportunity I had was taking a gal through something, and I was doing that, and an opening happened up in the nursery. I was working more full-time then. And I said, there's a need in nursery. Would you like to serve with me? So we had a good year, not only doing Bible study together, but ministering together. So that's, you know, just a really neat thing to kind of like what she had in there. You guys know that part. What did you guys think of the examples of the different gals
Other than men planning,
yeah, so
that's pretty good.
Because you can turn your things, like, you know, I was actually thinking of Bobby and her card ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Turning that right around to, you know, a study or, you know, relating it to the Word of God or ministering to anyone that comes in there.
Well, even the single lady that was in the work world, like, that was me up until last May. And yeah, it's interesting. You can find in any environment, and I'm even finding it now. So my group at my neighborhood is playing pickleball this morning, and I did a walk, you know, because I'm not going to play pickleball, so I walk the neighborhood, and the one guy says, I'm going to miss you at pickleball. Can't you tell them to have your lady study later in the day? You know, but they know that's my priority. I'm in here. And it's, I've had opportunities to either share with them, or they know. And, you know, you have to, again, live it as well as.
Yeah. And, you know, if you would have said, you know what, you're right, I don't need to go today or whatever, then that would say a lot about really what, where your faith is.
Where's my priority?
I'll change my church stuff. I'll change my women's ministry stuff so that I could, you know. So I think that said a lot, I think.
I'm glad you brought that up, Sue, because in every area of our lives, whatever your age group or your
marital status,
there's opportunity for you to minister to some other woman.
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. And knowing that you're approachable, like I even had, this was not the best circumstance because unfortunately it didn't, you know, the person has not changed, but a younger gal, now you got me saying gal.
I know I say it all the time.
Again, in my neighborhood, plays pickleball. She came to me real quiet, like, and she said, I know you're a Christian and you don't judge. I just recently discovered that I'm homosexual. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, oh Lord, what do I say to this? You know, so I don't want to get into detail, but it's just, it's interesting that they, on the quiet, they come to you, you know.
Yeah.
Knowing that you're not, hopefully not going to judge them, but yeah.
Was she wanting you to minister to her?
She wanted to bring her partner to play pickleball, and well, what do you think? Are people going to be accepting? Da 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 da. You know,
I could always play pickleball. Nobody even has to know if she doesn't.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of what. Yeah. You know, I want, like I said, I don't want to go into detail because you guys have stuff you have to teach, but yeah, in any and every circumstance. Mm-hmm. And again, be ready. Be ready.
Yes.
I also, the Kimberly one on the cooking, I thought of your sister. You know, it'd be really neat if we did have those kind of, you know, bigger ministries where, you know, the cooking.
Well, Hannah Cherbo was good for that.
Yeah.
With bread making, kombucha,
any kind
of fermented food, she would be happy to.
Well, Linda had some of the younger girls over and taught them about the basics of bread making before Jasmine went over to.
There you go.
Yeah. So,
okay. So anything that you have like a specialty?
Right. Yeah, I've showed somebody how to do Asian food.
There you go.
Yeah, do that again. I want to come.
Yeah.
I was going to say, why wasn't I invited?
You maybe know, we could do it in this kitchen.
I mean, we're talking about young. This is young. You know, my granddaughter's going to be 16 years old, and and so, you know, many of you know that I love to cook, you know, for other people and everything. So I said, you know what, it'd be really cool to have her come and, you know, cook and everything, because even one of the story there, I think, one of the women
Kimberly.
There, ministered to a younger person, I mean, even a child, 16 years old, she can help me cook, and guess what? She can help me go and take
deliver.
The food.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Oh.
Pray.
Yes.
You know, pray before we cook, pray at the time that we're delivering, and what another way of preparing her to be that type of woman, you know, as she gets older.
And you can share a little teeny scripture with her on that,
there
too.
There you go. So that's my little homework.
There you go.
I wanted to share something very quickly as far as ministry is concerned here. As I told you, I had gotten Debbie the book, right, The Excellent Wife. Well, I think a Catholic gal in my neighborhood, and we've been very good friends. She's been there for me when Peter was sick and everything like that. But she's one of those gentle kind of person. She's not like, you know, that she'll come after me if I'm being Protestant, she's being Catholic. Nothing. She's always, you know, gently and always interested. And I had invited her a couple of times to my women, you know, that I like to do. And so I was talking, we went to the fair last week, and I was talking about the book. I don't know, it just came out of my mouth. I just started talking about the book. And she said, oh, she goes, well, that sounds very interesting. She said, I think I'd like to get the book. Oh, now, she's divorced. She's divorced. She's Catholic. And guess what I said? Oh, she's a single woman. Wait, Sue. Sue comes over. She was there when it came to Excellent Wife and everything. And exactly for the reason that you came, guess what? It's exactly what came out of her mouth. Mm-hmm. And she said, I can apply it to anyone and everyone in my life. Mm-hmm. And so guess what Myrna said to her? Well, guess what? Debbie and I are getting together, and we're going to read. I'm going to read the book again, and we can sit down. And you can read the chapter also and join us.
Mm-hmm. You there know? You go.
Perfect.
And guess who I'm inviting to our women's conference?
Well, what's neat, too, is I think in the beginning she has the gospel presentation. I think like most of these books are,
yeah,
you've got them, you know. So there you go.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that's excellent.
So if you hear joy, singing angels, and everything, you should know that it came from my house.
You want the bell?
Yeah, the little bell.
There's one on there.
Yeah.
But anyway, this was... I thought this was really cool. You're seeing your variety. It doesn't have to be one way or the other.
Yeah.
It's however the Lord wants to use you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On page 24, I really like in the middle, God wants the older women to teach and encourage the younger women. I have found it helpful to have some sort of organized method. So that as well. And my goal is to help them mature. And as Edie said, you know, you mature as well. Mm-hmm. If you're taking them through, you're going to keep learning until we are in glory. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep learning. And so even when you know, there's time, you know, I'm learning along with you. You know, you're not growing pious or anything. You're learning. It's humble. You know, it's like what happened with your being confronted by your family there. You know, humbling yourself after you let the walls down. I think that's...
Speaking of humbling... This is a good book, From Pride to Humility.
Yeah.
And I believe it's the same author who did The Exemplary Husband. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's very short, very cool. My Rima word, I don't know if anybody knows what the word Rima means. My Rima word is, my lifetime Rima word is humility. You know, and...
I don't know what Rima is.
Rima is a word that it's used more in a biblical sense. It's a word that speaks to you in scripture and everything, that it's something that God has, the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart. And one of the things, like for instance, the experience that I went through with my daughter and everything, it taught me to be humble. And I was very, very prideful. And we're all prideful people. It's interesting how sometimes you think you're not.
Yeah.
But the little bitty thing
that you're not, you are.
You definitely are. And I highly recommend this booklet here. It's a plethora of information in a very short, you know, couple of
nice posts.
A couple of pages here, and it's really definitely written.
Same one that does
Yes, exactly.
That's
what I
said.
Yeah,
the
same one.
I think they color coded them. Uh-huh. All the blue, the blue ones. Yeah, but that one's good for anybody.
Oh, it's color. Well, I have a secret on that.
Well, the blue one is. I'll tell you another one.
Beth has a secret on.
I have a secret on that book. I believe that's a chapter in Exemplary Husband, and they pulled it out. That's okay. That's for the women too.
And here I thought I was sounding good.
I think that's what you had told me.
It must be really, because this is really goes into deeper. So maybe she touches it. I've read.
That's Stuart Scott.
Yeah. Oh, you mean
Exemplary Husband?
Men's Exemplary Husband.
Oh, so I see. Yeah. So I really.
That's how I'm gonna check it out.
I gotta go check it out now.
Check the chapters quick.
No peeking at
when he's not looking.
I gotta find out did he get to that chapter? Did you get to chapter?
On pride and humility.
Okay, well, before we
break up.
Do something else. Next week, Diana Paul's going to do question 3, which is about ministry. Write out some specific questions from the truth of the chapter that you could ask a younger woman. And I would like a volunteer for question 4. I read the wrong one. Mm-hmm. Number 3 is heart. What does it have to do if you do or do not believe these truths? And number 4, ministry. So I need a volunteer for number 4, or I will choose a name. Okay.
Wait. You and Bev have company next week.
No, we haven't done our thing yet. But Bev has to leave it.
The role play at 11:30.
Okay.
And also reach after 4, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're doing this out of chapter 3, though, right?
We're doing it out of chapter 4.
Yeah.
Oh, 4.
Question 4 out of chapter 4.
Well,
you
know what? Is due.
I forgot. We're having company that's coming, arriving Wednesday.
That's not next week, though. It's the 17th we're meeting, right?
Right.
It's
the 17th.
We're not meeting next week.
No.
It's every other week.
It's like every other week.
That's right. Okay, great. They might still be here, but... I don't know.
We'll just let where your priorities lie.
So I'm on chapter 4, number 4.
Correct.
Okay. I want to get it over with.
Oh, you remind me of high school when they said oral presentation.
I couldn't stand that. Okay.
I hate it.
Oh. I recognize that you did say that. Okay. Okay.
Oh, I'm still on tape saying that. Oops.
Oops.
Kristen can edit.
So apparently someone has requested from Edie to do role plays to kind of give an example on you know, Titus Tewing. And when she was trying to go, I'm like, no.
Let's admit it was
when we were discussing it, I was trying to, there's such a variety. You know, as I have shared, we can role play this as well. As simple, I mean, there's different phases of Titus too. I remember talking to Lisa Borgstrom, and sometimes just one guy in the hallway and you're encouraging him. Well, I call that, I told her, it's a touch of Titus too. So Lisa just loved that. So there's just many ways. I mean, the Titus 2, 3 through 4, 5 is definitely that one-on-one, I'm teaching them how to plan a menu right down to they're having marital difficulties. So there's a lot. And I think what happens is we as older women can get kind of intimidated when we hear, oh no, what if they get into the marriage difficulty thing? Or they ask a question I can't answer. So we're going to role play, I think, not only today, but next week, maybe even a little longer. Next week we'll do that. What happens if they ask a tough question? How do you handle that? And, you know, and if you guys have any other ideas on what you want us to role play, we'll do it. So, but, you know, I thought, okay, I'm a chronological person. So the very first thing I think of is when you run into them in the hallway, or you purposeful see one with a baby in the stroller, which we're always having babies in a stroller as they're dropping their little ones off. Now, for those of you who go to 9 a.m., that may mean you come, you know, you go through the service at, you know, if you're there at 4:15, before the service, not during the service. Pastor Mark's preaching. I gotta go! I'm set to go. Like at 8:45, I will see Kathy roaming the halls of the nursery with her coffee and engage everybody really, but a younger gal, you know, that has a little one. Of course, there's serving in the nursery that you can do too. But I think the important thing is to get to know them. That's how you get to know them. How are you doing? So I don't know. Do we role play that? I don't know.
Sure.
Okay.
This could be.
Should we walk down? Let's all walk down the hall and make it literal.
Okay.
But I mean, what did you say, Ilse? Because I like
this. Could be the beginning of your acting career.
Oh, that I know. So when she said role play, I'm like, I've had to do this in the past, but I haven't. So that's why I'm like, I want clarity.
Well, none of us are really good at it, so you can just pretend like I'm a younger mom, and you know what you would
say to me, and this is all ad lib.
It's all ad lib. It is. And so in what Edie's saying there, I think that what's key, knowing that this is just a play, so to speak, in real life, you have the Holy Spirit directing you. But at the same time, we need to be obedient. It's kind of like the put-offs and put-ons. Mm-hmm. You put on and have a plan, and you know you have that plan in front of you about not being angry again, and then it's like, oh, well, there's the plan on the book, and then blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not doing it. So it's being purposeful as you engage, and knowing it's the Holy Spirit doing it, and your love for them, because this is what God wants us to do, in your love for God. So when it comes to a Sunday morning, and let's say I'm seeing, you know, even Lucy Forrester, there she is with little Winnie in the stroller, you know, it's pretty much, I'll pretend you're Lucy, I guess. Lucy, how are you doing?
Oh, well, I guess I'm okay.
She's no, great.
You realize Lucy, I probably shouldn't choose Lucy.
Yeah, no. She'd say,
because she's always good.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'll be positive.
Who? Be positive, because I got one for you.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, it's been great. I'm really enjoying holding Winnie. She's such an obedient baby. And I just love how she nestles in my shoulder, and I'm just so thankful to the Lord.
That is great. So are you able to have your regular devotions? You know, each day, how is that going? Because I know with five, you know, that has to be much. Are you finding time to be in the Word?
Of course she is.
Well, am I Lucy or am I
Lucy?
Okay.
Yeah, you're Lucy.
Well, I am finding that I really need to be disciplined with my time. Sometimes that means that I have to get up early before everybody else gets up so that I can have my quiet time with the Lord. Or at the end of the day, I might be tired, but that might be another time when I have to just set time aside to rest my heart and my mind in the Word of God.
That is fantastic. So this is a wonderful, but how are you really doing? Is there something I could be praying for? Because I know you must be tired, you know, with the five. Is there anything I could be praying for you on?
Well, sometimes when I'm feeding the kids and I'm not always sure if what I'm feeding them is going to be healthy for them as far as digestive problems, I'm concerned about that. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's an area that you can pray for me, that I would have wisdom to know which foods would be helpful and which foods would be something that I should avoid.
That is great. At this point, we'd probably be interrupted because everyone loves to be around Lucy.
Yes, I would say that.
So yeah, at that point,
for Lucy.
So then what's neat is give her a hug, move on. That week, Lucy, how are you doing? You text her. Lucy, how are you doing? I'm praying for you in that area. And I'm also praying that you're able to, you know, get up in the morning. Whatever we talked about, I will text her. How are you doing on that? Then the next thing could be, hey, can I come over and hold Winnie too? Because she's so adorably cute, you know, or whatever.
And she is.
You can text it or in the hallway.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was going to recommend Lucy, Lisa, Eunice, any of those gals would love a visit.
Jenny.
Well, Jenny Duckworth, she works.
Yeah,
so you're going to have to, you know, work around. What I do with her is I take her out to dinner.
Yeah,
that's what it's due. Because she is, there's a lot with Jenny, if you guys could be praying, because of having to work. And that's just a long story concerning school stuff. And then her husband, her home, and her children, and wanting to minister. She's been wanting to come so bad Thursday nights, but it's been very difficult. So, yeah, take her out to dinner. That's kind of what I'll do, you know, making sure, you know, with Rusty's schedule.
Is she in the public school system?
Oh, yes. She is. Yeah, she's a speech therapist.
Yeah. Well, oh, okay, so she has a little more autonomy. Yeah.
What I do with Jenny is I put a little bag together of, like last time it was chili and peaches.
Oh, there you go.
You know, like something related to me, but... And then some, cool, I put some peaches, and what else did I put? I know they like blueberry muffins for breakfast, because I got those last year. And I just put whatever in a bag, and I just give it to Pastor Rusty. I put it outside the door, and then he takes it, and I put a card in there, you know?
Perfect.
So, you know,
and I think something. That's perfect, too, especially for her. Would be, you know, can I bring a meal? Do you guys have any dietary restrictions? Yeah. Can I bring a meal?
There's no reason why you don't have to bring a meal if you don't have to be signing up for a meal.
Yeah. Oh, I do that all the time.
Right. Yeah. It's
in
so
fact,
cool when you just
Catherine Quetkel's baby one got filled. I said, I'm doing it a week later.
You know what?
I'm going to go visit her and the baby. Yeah. Give it to her a week later.
And you don't have to know how to cook.
That's right. There you go. You can bring
it. I enjoyed your food.
Hey, I brought chilies. I brought chilies to Clint and Angie last Saturday night, and they were so funny. Set the food aside. Yes. We spent 2 hours just talking and fellowshipping.
And see, and that's part of it. Yeah. I think that's part of it right there.
Yeah, it was a blessing to me to be able to sit with them, and you know,
it is absolutely. We did that with Joe and I too. Sure. Yeah. So, I have to go.
Yes, I know.
Because I got to pick up my niece and we're going. We're going to do it each week, though. What we're going to do, we want to put feet to what we're learning. So, we're going to do this each week with a role play. So, next time, or each time we meet, next time we can do when we bring a meal. What kind of conversation can I have with that gal that has the baby?
Oh, cool. That's a good one.
I just have a question, and you can answer it next week. If there's ever been something in the church where people say, I want an older woman mentor, that people actually are looking for that, like something, you know what I mean, where you pair an older woman with a younger woman, something a bit more structured. You
no, can, we have not had that.
And the other thing is showing an interest in people, I believe, is like 50%, just showing an interest. Yes.
You know, this is interesting you're saying it, but I have prayed for the longest time that God would put just that godly, that one godly woman.
Yeah.
And he gave me a whole bunch.
Oh, nice. We have to pray before we leave. Okay, go. Okay. All right, let me just pray real quick. And you can go, Beth.
Thank you.
You're dismissed.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just are in such awe of the way that you minister to our hearts, and I thank you for our conversations here today. I pray, Father, that we would be open to opportunities to meet with and speak with young women, and that we can trust that you're going to give us the words to say, even though it may be a situation that terrifies us to engage a conversation with someone or to think about talking about spiritual things. We can know that you will equip us with whatever it is that we need for the moment, and we don't have to be anxious or fearful, because you don't want us to be. You said, you commanded us not to be fearful. So we thank you, and we ask that you would just minister to our hearts as we go through the next 2 weeks and encounter women along the way. So we praise you and thank you. Amen. Yeah.